Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It's creepy stuff, and if any of this stuff is real, we live in a really terrifying place. Hello, hello, and welcome to another edition of Supernatural Station. I'm your host, Roman Daniels. Joined with me is my twin brother, Jaron Daniels.
We got some creepy stuff for you today, folks. Thanks for being a part of it.
So what are we talking about today?
It's kind of weird. Like, it's one of those things I haven't really looked into too much myself, but it's definitely in the same parameters of the things we are very interested in half the time, because the Goat Man is a very strange story, and there's less sightings than most other things we talk about, but it's definitely
creepy.
Which is
why it's kind of like in the weird urban legend realm a little bit more than, you know, eyewitness, I feel like. It's more urban legend, kind of creepy pasta. But, you know, we do all these shows on purpose because we don't have all the answers, and we haven't seen it, but there's probably somebody out here listening that's like, oh, I seen it. I saw the thing.
Yeah. You know? And if they have seen it, then I'm not going to say they're lying. You know, there's something to it if there's been sightings, right? Especially more than one in different locations. So there you go.
Right. So according to urban legend, the Goat Man is a creature resembling a goat-human hybrid, often credited with canine deaths. So, you know, dogs and other things are dying near this thing. And it's purported to take refuge in the woods of Prince George's County, Maryland. So I think Maryland was one of the first places where people started seeing sightings. And if you go to like Google or DuckDuckGo, whatever service you use, if you go there and you type in like Maryland Goat Man, you'll see an image, which I'm not sure if it's real or fake. I mean, it's kind of hard to tell. I mean, it could be faked because there's trees in front of it, like in the foreground, there's a few trees and stuff. And a lot of people look at it and they call it like a Sasquatch goat or a goat Sasquatch or something. So it kind of has this Sasquatch body in the photo, but the head looks definitely like a goat and it's black in color and it's carrying something like an axe, which is a pretty common thing you'll hear in these stories. So, and that was in Maryland.
Yeah, so a lot of the time the sightings are either goat face or human face with goat body. And if it has the goat face, it usually has a human body that's like distorted. So it's kind of weird. It's like a perfect mix of, you know, it's just the makings of a Batman villain. That's what I'm going to say.
Pretty much. And it does remind me of like Greek mythology and Roman mythology. Like you have the, you know, the Minotaur, which is, you know, the half bull head or whatever with
the
human body.
I think I like that one the best of those creatures.
Right, and then there's the centaur, which is like the horse body with the human upper torso and head, you know. And I don't know what to make of all these like chimera creatures. I mean, there's a chance that some of these things are real and just abominations created by something otherworldly, or coming from another world or possibly another dimension. But yeah, it's creepy stuff, and if any of this stuff is real, we live in a really terrifying place.
Well, and this is the thing, government in general, they're always trying to make the ultimate soldier, right? So to go against these other countries, there's always so much war between humans, right? And so there's a chance that maybe one of these governments, similar to, we were just talking about this off air, like the Sasquatch thing in general, like there's
right,
programs.
The Stalin regime back in the Soviet era.
They were trying to create an ape-human hybrid, which, hey, who knows? Maybe that's what Sasquatch is. Who knows? I don't think that's the case, but it definitely is a strange situation. Maybe they made a goat human too. Who knows?
Right. And it reminds me of like the human pig hybrid that I think was common knowledge that came out. I think we talked about it on another podcast, but it came out recently that in China, of course it's China, they created this kind of chimera of a pig. And
wasn't that
human.
A recent story?
It's recent. Yeah. It was like 2019 or something like that.
Did it survive? I don't know. That's something we should look into. And if anybody knows that stuff, definitely send us some information, you know, because we're probably just talking about it without much knowledge. But if you have some knowledge, please send it our way, because we'd love to kind of read up on it.
I find it odd really quick that if it's like a pig man, pig human, like just on a belief level, that just seems so... I mean, we have similar organs, right? But to me, it just seems so weird. Like, how does something like that survive, you know?
Yeah.
It just seems, it's an abomination.
The ape human makes a lot more sense, because we're, you know, it seems like we share the DNA, right, of chimpanzees by like 99% or whatever. Yeah.
It's like Dr. Connors on Spider-Man. There's no way he's going to become a lizard man. It just doesn't happen. Like,
yeah,
it's just too weird, you know?
You're mixing warm-blooded with cold-blooded. It's just like, it's fighting, all the systems within the body are constantly fighting each other. There's no way.
Joke's on you, super smart scientist. A normal guy sitting in his apartment is calling you out, bro.
Yeah, and you know, the Greek mythology has the satyr, which looks like very much like what the goat man is described to look like. And I just wonder, because these are stories that, the thing with all these old mythology stories is that it's like, you really don't know if they're telling like the true truth. Maybe it's like a similar to like a Bible thing, you know, like where, you know, in the Bible, we know that there's parallels that are being told to us sometimes, where it's not like an all this really happened. It's more like, hey, this is a parable to what life is trying to teach us, you know? And I just wonder if that's like what this is, or if there's actual truth that these things actually existed and were like mischievous creatures, you know, like walking around the woods and like kind of seducing women, because that's what their story is
putting you
about.
In danger, being thieves, like they would steal stuff,
taking
from camps,
people and captive and stuff like that, which sounds demonic to me also.
It does, yeah. I mean, this one to me, like it's kind of hitting hard, because it does feel demonic a little bit, which is something I try to stay away from on a spiritual level, because I'm Christian, I believe in Jesus and stuff, and it doesn't matter where you guys stand that way. I appreciate you guys being here.
Exactly. Everybody, but basically everybody's welcome no matter what your belief is, and we hope that we don't offend you based on what we're saying, but and what our opinions are, but that's what our show's about. It's an opinion show pretty much, and then we just cover stuff that we find on the internet and stories we hear about.
Yeah,
so we're happy you're here, but this is just our opinions and kind of our beliefs that we tie into the show as well.
And the thing is like, with that being said, I mean, if there's these old stories, right, these old mythological creatures that are still hanging around, it begs to differ. Makes me think, I guess, in general, this flood has happened. Everybody knows there's evidence of the flood. Scientists will say it. There was a flood.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't know where it came from, who did it, right? So if you believe in Jesus and stuff, you believe it was a certain way. If you believe it, blah, blah, blah,
well,
right?
And also, think about this. All of the Native Americans have a story of the flood.
Exactly.
All of, like, the ancient Hawaiians have a story about the flood.
Most Natives
all
believe it.
Ancient cultures have a story about the flood.
Yeah, most Natives believe that Earth is a big turtle that, like, flips over on its back or moves a different way, and that's when floods happen and stuff, which is super cool. Regardless to say, I mean, if there was a flood, there's a chance that, like, some of these creatures somehow pulled through. How weird would that be? And I mean, that's the whole reason for the flood, right? Was to destroy the abominations and the sin in the world,
right?
Based on the Bible. And so, who knows? It's weird, strange. I don't want to call God a liar, but I wouldn't myself, but I don't know what happened, you know?
You know, and as I was doing research on this a little bit, especially when I was kind of diving into like the satyr and the faun, I was kind of like reading about it, and you know, I was definitely thinking about Narnia for sure. You know, obviously there's the character in that is one of those characters, which I thought was interesting, but I was really thinking about it, and I'm like, God, it reminds me of like Pan's stuff, all the Pan things, you know, like when I was watching Hellier. If anybody's not seen Hellier, you should definitely watch it. It's like a 4 or 5, maybe 6-part series or whatever, and it's these guys did this investigative documentary where they were looking into Kentucky, and they were looking at these three-toed like beings or creatures that were coming out of the caves supposedly, and you know, kind of attacking and harming farmers and things like that. They'd started getting, because they kind of went down the rabbit hole, and then they started like talking about like trying to summon like Pan or something, and it freaked me out, because as I was reading these stories about satyrs, it was tied to Pan, by the way.
Yeah, it's like, because was Pan like an old demigod or a god?
Pretty much,
like
basically
a demon, a nature demon deity
that had his own creatures that did his will and stuff, right? So there you go.
And the thing is like, the Hellier thing, real quick, if you are from Kentucky, we may not have any followers from Kentucky, but if you are from Kentucky, you just come upon our show, or Texas, but mostly Kentucky, Arkansas, those kind of places, there's something going on there, and if you're willing to share any story, like, I'd really want to hear about it, because that's on my top bucket list of places to visit, me and my brother here, Roman.
Oh, yeah.
We really want to go, like, down that way, because there's definitely something going on.
So one of our stories actually comes from Kentucky, the Kentucky area. So, I mean, we're going to cover a few stories here, but he's right about it. And Kentucky is like, it's like this, it's almost like where we're at. We're in Utah, and so we've got Skinwalker Ranch, right? And everyone knows about Skinwalker Ranch right now. If you watch the show, you can see all these crazy things that they're finding out. There's weird evidence.
Anomalies.
Which we're going to go there too this summer if we can, or maybe spring sometime.
Good luck getting into the actual location, but
we'll go drive around and try to feel for it and stuff.
We're familiar with Duchesne. It's a great location, and
Catch a glimpse of like some wolfy thing running around, or maybe we'll catch a glimpse of a UFO flying in the sky like they caught. But basically with Kentucky, it's like that. There's something going on there, and I don't know if it's the limestone caves that are below, that it's some kind of conductor, or if it's creatures that live down below, because those cave systems are some of the most vast cave systems that exist in the world, really, I think.
Yeah.
And so who knows what's down there? So much of that is untraveled and untouched by human touch, that these things could exist. They could be coming out of the ground. They could be coming out of the caves. The thing with Kentucky, too, is they're a huge hotspot for Bigfoot sightings, too, nonstop. And the thing about it in Kentucky is a lot of people that live out there in those rural parts of Kentucky are down home, you know, just America loving, just awesome people that are just trying to get by. You know,
they live for the weekend. They work hard, blue collar jobs.
They're just trying to get by. They care about God and country. They care about their family. And the thing is like, if they see something, like this is the last, they don't really tell anybody about it. Like the culture out there, they don't speak as much about what they're seeing if they see something strange. So I think a lot of people are seeing things and they don't even report it, but we're still getting tons of reports out of Kentucky. Imagine if the culture was a little bit different out there, right?
Yeah, if they're willing to speak, a lot of these people, I mean, maybe their parents taught them a certain way, you know, you don't talk about things that are outlandish because if there's no evidence, and if they're looking at something like that, they don't have evidence, so why would they talk about it if they don't know what it is? And they're just like, nope, I'm just keeping my mouth shut till something comes out about it. Then they may say something, but most likely there's some pride there too, which is great. I mean, I understand. There's, you know.
Well, yeah, even in my life, there's a lot of things that, like, all of a sudden I sit and dwell on, like, what happened during the day, and I'm like, why did I forget to tell my wife about that? Like, that was kind of important. Why did I forget to tell her? You know, and it's just because I think we compartmentalize some things that have happened to us, and we only remember the things that are going to push us forward. And so if that doesn't really push you forward or, like, help your life, like, keep going, like, in the right focus, positive trajectory, it's not something you really want to say. So I think that's why what's happening in the world with these podcasts, the reason why we're doing this podcast is because we love it. We love the subject. But another part of it is we're just trying to just speak about it because it's fun to really get the word out and just like let people know that there's really stuff going on out there.
Yeah, get them brain juices flowing. You know, everything in society has to do with that right now. I mean, you decide what you want to believe because the news is all over the place, right? And the other thing too is like, for me, like good example, right? I saw this fairy creature. If you guys listened to my last episodes, I really did see something
weird. Go back
weird.
And listen to our fairies episode. I forget what number it was, but it'll just say fairies.
I've seen two of those in the same location, and it was strange that it showed itself twice to me, whatever this is. But they were different ones, believe it or not, different sizes slightly. And then I saw a Bigfoot. Well, I think that I saw Bigfoot in Logan, Utah as well. And so
Logan's a hot spot. I don't think there's anything else that could have been.
Yeah. But there's the thing that I'm trying to get at is like, even so there's the side you were saying that people don't want to talk about it. But then there's like somebody like us, right? We were raised with free thinking. Our parents were like open to a lot of stuff, especially our mom who raised us mostly towards the later time. And she was just like open to everything. She has so many cool stories herself. We'll have her on the podcast soon.
Yes, please pay attention in the future. If you guys are avid listeners, we're so thankful that you're here. If you're a new listener, we're gonna get her on really soon, our mom. And she just has one of those voices. She's really great at telling stories. She actually wrote a book. She's a novel writer. And so,
I mean,
her book is called Black Reckoning, and it just is crazy. And it's a very dark and creepy, twisty tale. She just has, her mind is so imaginative, but also at the same time so grounded too. And she's sort of a medium psychic as well. So she's had a lot of experiences.
I mean, she's touched multiple women's stomachs when they're not even pregnant, or that they didn't even know they're pregnant, and she would say, "You're pregnant and you're having a boy." And then later, that's true. That's what came true.
Or she'll look at the male's eyes, the man's eyes, and say, the father, and say, "Hey, you're having a girl or boy." And she's pretty much always right. So she did it with me, and it was right.
Yeah, so we were raised by some pretty open teachings, and even myself was a little leery to maybe bring up some of the stuff I saw. You know what I mean? So there's two sides. sides to that.
And the reason we go down this tangent is because this topic right now is a little bit harder. It's more far-fetched, even for us to kind of fathom. The goat man, it just doesn't seem like it's possible, but it does seem like it's possible when it comes to, like, maybe not a cryptid, but more of like a spiritual entity. Like skinwalkers, we just went down that path. Mm-hmm. Something that is a shape-shifting abomination that is sort of a mix of different things to kind of fool us and scare us too. You know, it's like the sort of the Batman tactic. We're referencing Batman again. But yeah, you know, just the fear tactic thing. Like, if you see something that's not supposed to exist, it's pretty fearful. You know, you get nervous about it.
All right. After that tangent, we got some gripping stories, y'all. Here we go.
So I'm just going to dive in here to a few things that I'd found on just on the web. So here's one of them. It says, Goatman stories originated in the early 1970s with Prince George's County following the disappearances and or deaths of multiple dogs. What's the thing about dogs anyway? I wonder what it's like. I mean, if this thing is flesh and blood, maybe it's eating dogs. But I don't understand.
Is it like, okay, dogs were attacking sheep their whole life? You know how there's like dog herding?
Oh, yeah.
And they'll attack
sheep.
It's
like a payback.
Is it like a payback?
Like some kind of retribution?
It's like, I hate dogs more than anything.
I don't know, but here's the thing. Is like, you can't prove, this is, it kind of reminds me of the Chupacabra thing a little bit. You can't prove that the goat man is actually the culprit doing this, right? It's just that the dogs are turning up dead or they're disappearing. But anyway, it says, which were later attributed to the creature. However, given the condition of remains, the deaths may more likely have been the result of passing trains. And what's the deal with trains, too? We're gonna have a theme kind of going here that's either trains or trestles of trains, you know, bridges with, which remind me of the troll stories, like the old troll stories of the old days. By the way, this is weird. Billy Goat Scrub. What's the Billy Goat storyline?
Billy Goat Scrub, isn't that
yeah.
what it is?
And they have the troll that they're trying to go over the bridge and mm-hmm. escape. Weird. That's kind of weird.
Now it's opposite. The goat is the one that's down below.
Right. Despite evidence to the contrary, stories of the Goatman's existence continued to circulate, especially among local students. Graffiti reading, Goatman was here, was not uncommon, and law enforcement would habitually receive calls of reported sightings. Now that's weird that it's a habit. They were getting all these sightings coming in, so that's weird too, right? I mean, that's eyewitness accounts.
But what way to make people think, this is what I'm going to say on the opposite side of this, what way to make people think that something isn't real? By posting it everywhere, like making it a joke, right?
Right.
Like sometimes you see all this Bigfoot stuff in Oregon, and I believe Bigfoot's everywhere, but in Oregon he's definitely there. But I think it makes it seem like a joke sometimes, and people are like, oh, it's not real, and it's kind of funny. It's like, it's what celebrities do. They say things out in public and laugh about it,
but they're
when
sort
they're
of
really
the
involved
truth.
In it, you
right.
know?
Right. And well, here's the other thing, too. I don't know what the 1970s looked like in Prince George's County. But, like, here's another weird kind of almost conspiracy theory. Imagine being somebody who's, like, in charge of tourism, like, for the government of a specific city or county or town. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we need to get people here. We're not getting enough tourism, right? Sometimes I think this happens. I think they come up with something and say, oh, this, we're having all these sightings of this creature or UFOs. It's like, and then all of a sudden people are flocking because they're like, oh, we want to see this thing, right?
So
it brings people in.
There's, like, little truth sprinkled with a lot of money and fortune involved. Who knows? Like, it's kind of both ways, I guess. You
right.
know, but
it says, the creature was commonly claimed to have a human face, but with a body covered in hair. However, descriptions differed on whether Goatman greater resembled a hairy humanoid or a human with a lower portion of a goat, similar to the fauns of Greek mythology. So I said satyrs were Greeks. It's actually the Romans that said satyrs, and the Greeks were the fauns.
Yeah. Well, I do know a lot of people that look like that first description, though. Hashtag hairy people, you know? I played basketball with some that were like, you touch them once and it feels like
scrapes
you're getting
you.
Pricked. And you're sweating really bad, and they're sweating way worse because there's hair everywhere, and who knows, you know? Human face, hashtag hairy body.
All right, so let me just continue real quick. So it just says, Goatman was rumored to reside in a makeshift shelter in the wooded region of northwestern Prince George's County near the vicinity of Bowie. Occasionally, it was rumored that the Goatman would venture out and kill a dog or rush up abruptly beating cars with an axe.
So
what's with the axe?
Yeah, what's with the axe, but also what's with the makeshift thing? Like, it's kind of weird. Like, if he's been around longer than humans, or if this thing's lasted as long as it has, if I'm thinking mythological creature survived through the flood or whatever in my mind, which I don't think that, but I'm just saying, if that was the case, it's making a makeshift fort. Dude, I made a makeshift fort in ninth grade with Roman over here.
And I feel like at that point, you have a mansion and you have a ton of guns. You have like 40 guns.
You're set.
Yeah.
You got like a full-on, you know, place underground with guns.
You might even have a time machine at that point.
You know?
If you're that ancient and that smart and that intelligent, you know.
But the axe does make me think old school, right? Mythological. But it also makes me think demonic.
Could be time slip. Could be demonic.
So it scares me because, again, our mom's going to be on here. She had a story about a demonic character that visited her when she was sleeping with an axe. So it's weird that there's those weird parallels in general that I've heard in other people's stories too, messing with the Ouija board or different things that have creatures with an axe.
Well, and also just the goat, as you said off air, we were kind of talking, is famously the Baphomet. It's like the devil. It's like what the devil's depicted as, right? Is a goat head and a human body. So like this whole thing is really just from just an artist standpoint, just a visual standpoint, really looks like the description of like the devil.
Wasn't there a movie we were watching where like somebody's driving down the road and it's like a nighttime and it's like dark and they hit like a goat creature and then it's like laying on the road and it's like behind the car and they get out of the car and it's laying there for a second and then it like goes through the forest and then it comes back and hits their car again and then it gets in the back seat.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. That was probably some really scary movie. So here's the problem with me and Jaren is that we sit and watch these scary movies, especially I force him to watch them with me.
Yeah, he forces me.
During the Halloween time, and literally Halloween for me starts September 1st and it ends October 31st.
I watched so many more scary movies this year than I ever have. Because we started 2 months. It was 2 months deep.
So let me just continue real quick anyway. But yeah, I do remember that movie. I just don't know what it was. But
that tangent vibe.
Yeah. According to some variations of the legend, Goatman is said to have once been a scientist who worked in the Bellsville Agricultural Research Center. In this version, an experiment on goats backfires and the scientist mutates into a half-man, half-goat creature who begins aggressively attacking cars in the vicinity of Bellsville, Maryland. Now that's a Batman villain.
That's a Batman villain. We were just looking at Man-Bat and he's very much like that. Well, if that's the case, though, like if it did happen that way, if that's the real legend, what would be scary is it had more babies or multiple situations to create more of these, but also it went more goat mentality than it went human mentality, which is strange.
Yeah.
Why would it?
According to the University of Maryland folklorist Barry Pearson, the Goatman legend began long, long, long ago and were further popularized in 1971 when the death of a dog was blamed on the Goatman by local residents. Now, here's the question I have. Why are they blaming it on the Goatman? Like, unless they're seeing it happen, right? Are they seeing this happen? Are they witnessing the dog getting shredded from some goat creature?
What makes me think there's some truth then? Why are they saying that? Why are they blaming it? You know, somebody might have saw something.
And then this also ties me back again to chupacabra, which translates to goat sucker.
Right? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it translates to goat sucker because it was back in like Venezuela and Mexico and some of the South American cultures, Latin America.
They were
finding dead goats originally. Mm-hmm. And they had these little tiny marks like a vampire on their neck and their blood was completely sucked out. We're going to do a whole episode on chupacabra
because
we really need to. But anyway, I just had to tie that in because that's really interesting. But yeah, so I don't know. It's, you know, it could be just the result of bored teenagers just like trying to get a rise out of, you know, younger kids, like younger grade school kids, and trying to scare the crap out of them. I don't know what to claim. I mean, this is 1970s, and 1970s, it seems like that was kind of the time to really, like, you know, kind of bully them a little bit.
But
and
also
stuff.
It's the time where there's not like social media and stuff. There's not like a lot of reason to push something like this. Why would you push something like this?
Right.
So who knows? I kind of almost understand. I almost believe what they're saying in some way.
Right. Yep.
Okay, so upon some research that I was doing for the Goatman subject, I was looking into, before Roman showed up here at my apartment, it's called the Asani or Anasi, I think. I can't remember what his name is, but Anasi or Asani.
Yeah,
Goatman story, right? And it's a staple. Like, people talk about it all over the online situation. They're saying, like, this is a classic, and it's one of those things that scares me all the time.
Now, mind you, it is a creepypasta. Like, his title is creepypasta.
It is creepypasta, and I feel bad. I mean, we usually don't give credence to creepypasta or, like, what's his name? Chills. Those type of people, because they're trying to...
Here's what I will say about it, is that I think that some truth stories go on to...
So do I.
Pasta. I don't think it's all fake. I think there's a lot of fake stories on
same
there.
Same with Chills.
Great writers.
Yeah. We've seen Chills on YouTube. He's like, now this is Chills. He has the weirdest voice, okay?
Right.
But he talks about this stuff, right, on his YouTube channel. Some of it is pretty legit, but other times I see him post stuff and I'm like, dude, that was so debunked and everybody makes fun of it and it's so weird. So take this with a grain of salt, but there was a story that this guy told and it sounded really legit, and honestly, if like we tell it here and hopefully they'll actually just make a movie of it, it'd actually be a really cool movie.
Yeah.
But paraphrasing here, this gentleman was probably 16 at the time. His name was Anasi or something like that, and I think he was Native American. His cousins were Native, and so they were in Alabama. I can't remember what part of Alabama it was, but they were going camping, right? And they decided to just have a group of friends, cousins and some friends, and there were some girls that there were like neighborhood girls in the area, which we grew up with too. We had some neighborhood girls we'd hang out with.
Yeah, it reminded me of our upbringing a
totally
little bit.
Yeah. And it was Alabama, so it was like Southern and stuff. So he said, like, these, you know, we were camping, and the dad knew, the dad of one of the family members, that they were going to go camping in this forest nearby their farmhouse or whatever. And this, you know, neighborhood person that was, he said, a white guy with a rifle, and his son showed up, and they were just like doing all kinds of stuff. There was fire pits, there was all kinds of stuff going on at night. But they said that they started hearing, or smelling rather, the first thing that they noticed was a smell of copper, and like, you know, like when you have a bloody nose and your nose just like dries up, it smells like copper or like iron, you know, yeah, that kind
of
thing.
But it also reminds me of electrical fire a little bit. Like when you hear, when you smell an electrical fire smell, that it kind of has that burned copper, because I think they use copper in chips and stuff. And so it has this really weird.
Yeah. So this kid,
it could be electronic or it could be like demonic a little bit with like
exactly
blood.
It makes me wonder if it's like a supernatural thing. But this kid says that they all started smelling this copper smell or this weird burnt iron smell. And they were cooking and stuff. So like, oh, was there like a iron that we left on? Was there a pan that we left on? And they looked around, they couldn't find anything. And there was a fire pit and everything. They had their tents set up and everything. And there was this old cabin that they were staying in that's part of somebody's land, right? And they started noticing, there was like eight of them, I think, or eight or nine at the time. And most of them were cousins. They had a few girls that were in the neighborhood that were hanging out with them. And they were telling ghost stories, doing all the classic stuff you do at that age.
Trying to scare girls because it makes them want to hug you. And
this kid that was telling the story was from like the big city, but the people he was staying with were from this town, and it was a small town, so they would make fun of him like he was some city slicker, which was kind of fun for him at first. And he was like, it's funny, they're all making fun of me, I'm the city slicker, so they're trying to make it even scarier at first, right? But then, all of a sudden, all of them start getting scared because they started smelling that smell. There was this person that they thought that they knew, his name was Tanner, was one of the kids that was one of their friends, but it was like an imposter. Like, it was by the fire pit, but he was turned the other way, and it ended up not
facing away from the fire.
Away from the fire, yeah. Away from all the people.
Like, back to the people.
With no emotion. Mm-hmm. And then, also when they were walking up to the cabin, there was another person also by the side of the trail, and he was doing the same thing, turned the other way, kind of like almost imitation laughing without making the noise. And so it was like shoulders shaking,
bumping and bobbing up and down,
but wasn't
with no sound.
Yeah, wasn't turned towards the trail. And they're like, dude, you're scaring us, who are you? And then it just wouldn't turn towards them. And so they had all these weird situations that were happening around this time that they were staying out in this campsite where this cabin was, right? And all of a sudden they noticed they were eating bratwurst in their cabin. And this is like the same night or the next night. And there was eight of them, right? And they had 12 bratwursts. And everybody's... No, there was 12... There was 11 of them at the time.
Right.
And they had 12 bratwursts. So they made 12 bratwursts and cooked them up. And this kid was saying, I cooked them up. And we had everybody four packages. Everybody got one.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, there was... Somebody got two. And one of the cousins was like, why did you get two and everybody else got one? And he's like, well, I made 12 bratwursts. There's 12 of us. If you wanted more, then you could have asked for more. There was another package that opened up.
Right.
So the dude was like, his cousin was like, bro, how is that the case, right? And they looked around and they said it got really eerie and super weird because there was a 12th person in the cabin with them.
The way he described it is had like 11. His heart dropped. He got that heart drop feeling.
And it still smelled like copper and iron.
You get that when all of a sudden you feel like you're in danger. Like people who have been hunting or have... been in a really scary situation, or if you're like any dangerous situation, you kind of get that feeling where it's like, oh crap, this is real.
I'm in danger. It's survival mode.
It's a survival thing. All of a sudden you feel like your heart drops in your chest, you know, and that is how it feels.
And all night, or I guess it was a weekend, they were staying over there all night. Well, this person that they didn't even know that was in this cabin with them, they said, oh, all of a sudden there was this other person in there and he was eating a bratwurst with them, and he was right next to one of those girls, and one of those girls, he wouldn't name specifically, but he said, she got nervous because he came over and grabbed her leg while they were eating bratwurst and like squeezed her leg and said something in a different language. And she said she got freaked out, jumped up, went over to him and said, there's this other person here. And then that's when they kind of noticed there's an extra brat that was eaten. There's 12 of us here. And they were literally hanging out with this 12th person for the whole day and didn't realize it.
And that corroborates the drop heart feeling. It's because it's like, I think that our bodies and our souls tell us when we're in the midst of something that's dangerous, you know? Like, I think it's like we have five senses, right? I think that's the sixth sense, which is when, and we may have more senses than that, but I think that it'll tell us like, hey, you're in danger, you know? And it just drops. And agreed. Like, I felt that when we go ghost hunting and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, you get that feeling and you're like, you have to trust it. It's like the gut feeling. It's like, it's the same
it's
thing.
It's a survival mode thing.
I describe it as a heart dropping, but it's within your gut too, and people feel it and they're like, okay, you know, I felt it at times when it's like, I'm not going to take this road, and then all of a sudden you realize there's a car crash
that happened on that road. Yeah, it's so weird.
You know, Jim Harold, the pod father.
Pod father, right? We love
Jim Harold is one of our favorite. Listen to his podcast.
So humble, so cool.
His podcasts are what kind of started all of us, you know. He's the guy that inspired
him
all of
us. Wes Germer.
Yeah.
I love Sasquatch Chronicles, my favorite podcast probably.
Right. Astonishing still. Legends and all the good
guys. You
gotta
love, but what's her name from Mysterious Radio,
K-Town.
There's so many good ones out there.
But Jim Harold has a story where basically he was walking with his sweetheart, whatever, and they were walking down a road, and they walked past this semi-truck that had all the logs that were, you know, piled up, it was like a logging semi.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this feeling in his stomach that said, don't walk this way, something bad's gonna happen. And so he walked around the other side, and as he was walking, all those logs came flying down on the side where
Final Destination style.
He would have walked, right, with his girlfriend and stuff, and they would have got crushed. So he had this stomach feeling. I call it a heart drop. But anyway, you have to pay attention to that, because I feel like it's really
trying to
tell you what's going on. Yep. And with this story that Jaron's saying, these guys all of a sudden had that feeling.
There's some random person feeling in their cabin.
And all of a sudden,
somebody
grabs the girl up by the legs.
And they didn't explain what this person looked like, which was so weird to me. I'm like, what is going on here? If I saw a random person in our cabin that we didn't know, I'd probably tackle that person and like take them out, like hog time or something, figure out what's going on.
Right. Here. Especially when there's girls involved. And,
oh, yeah. Yeah. And you're trying to...
Middle of nowhere.
Yeah. But all of a sudden, there's like a door that somebody knocks on the door later down the road. I think it's the next day. They try to like oversee it and just ignore it. And they just try to sleep and stuff. And there was no activity after that. But then there was the next day.
They said it sounded like a clawing slash knocking.
Like a clawing knocking on their door of the cabin. And it was this weird, creepy voice that said... It was like different cadence than humans. And it said something like...
Let me in.
Yeah. They described it like... you know how like cat and dog videos, when people teach their dog or cat how to speak like an English word? Like huskies really are good at it. And cats will say like, are you coming? There's a video where the cat says, are you coming? And it's so weird to me.
Yeah.
But that's what they describe it as, is like this weird creature's knocking on the door and it says, let me in. But it's like all creepy. I don't even know how to do it. And it freaked me out. I get chills just thinking about it.
And they get terrified, right?
And one of
the
guys,
like, what do you want? Who are you?
Or something, yeah, they shoot through the door and it doesn't communicate for a while. And then it just gets ignored again. And then the very next day, an older cousin that's 19, all the other kids are 16, 17, shows up and he says, there was another girl that was with you guys. Is she here? Is she coming back? Because I saw her coming up the trail and she had like this slack jaw look and she was looking super awkward and she wouldn't answer me. Is she coming back? And they're like, we sent her away because she was like super awkward. We don't even know if she was the right if she was a real person.
Right.
It was super awkward. So I know that's like super different than Goat Man, because it really wasn't like a goat creature, but the area was all about Goat Man and the
right,
lore.
The legends were in the lore.
And the Native American kid that was part of that was saying like, it's Goat Man. Goat Man's coming after us.
I think it was one of the cousins kept saying, hey, it's Goat Man. This is Goat Man doing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes me wonder, like, is this thing
a shapeshifter?
More of a shapeshifter, kind of like a skinwalker? Like, is this thing kind of like where, you know, or like a fairy even, where it can do all these things to kind of show us something that it is or isn't and like just mess with us, you know? And that's what it seems like. I mean, if it was in their freaking cabin,
that's creepy.
Eating hot dogs or brats with them, and they had no idea because it looked like a person, but you know, it wasn't probably talking. That's the thing. It wasn't a body talking there.
And no, most people, like most creatures that we talk about here, have to be invited in. Like even Bigfoot, there's stories of that weird cabin where it gets attacked by all these Bigfoot creatures out there throwing rocks, and they're knocking on the doors trying to get in. And that's like by Mount Rainier, right?
Yeah.
But they don't get in because there's not really a way to get in.
Like the black-eyed kids,
all those different things. Like, they can't get in unless
you
invite them in.
Just let us in. We're not going to hurt you. We just need to use your phone.
Yeah, right. That's
the way they talk. It's so weird.
Bro, everybody has a phone. I'm not giving you my phone. I'm not letting you in my house.
They have no idea what's going on, these black-eyed children. You guys heard our story about this a couple episodes back, but
we're definitely going to do another black-eyed children story because it's just such a deep subject.
What about that one kid that, like, runs up to those people in the cul-de-sac and he's, like, not dressed for the winter and he's, like, almost naked and they're all dressed in coats? He's not wearing shoes, and he's like asking him these weird, awkward questions.
The weird thing about that one is that he was older, like he was their age, because these kids were like young college students, and this person that ran up on them was like that age kind of group. And I just wonder if it's like maybe that's what they'd be comfortable like
seeing,
accepting in their mind, like 2 a.m. or 1 a.m. You know, it's late and they've been partying and stuff. You know, I just think that whatever these things are, you said they have to invite it in. There's a chance that like the reason it was in that cabin with this Goatman story is that
one of them let him in.
They probably just said, "Hey, we're all hanging out. Like, yeah, come on in. Like,
come on in. Yeah, you're right.
Friends. You know,
yeah, it's like you're one of the crew. Like, we don't know who you are specifically,
and they just didn't even realize that it was something else.
You that's know? Probably right.
Yeah.
And then the other one showed up, another entity.
Yeah.
Or it was the same one, and we didn't let him in anymore in this story, and now it's knocking on the door trying to get in again. It's,
right.
There's some creepy stuff with this, you guys. It's insane.
All right, well, I wanted to tell you a little bit about something that's called the Pope Lick Monster. What do you think of when you think of that name?
Like, Pope and Lick?
Pope Lick Monster.
That Tootsie Pop where you're like trying to look in the wrapper and see if you can see the star on the wrapper so you can get some kind of extra Tootsie Pop.
So the Pope Lick Monster is a legendary part man, part goat, or sometimes part sheep creature reported to live beneath a Norfolk Southern Railroad trestle over Floyd's Fork Creek in Fisherville area of Louisville, Kentucky. Here we go again.
Kentucky's got some crazy stuff, you guys.
We've got to visit. Urban legend. In most accounts, the Pope Lick Monster, named after the Pope Lick Creek below the Pope Lick train trestle, appears as a human-goat hybrid with a grotesquely deformed body of a man. It has powerful fur-covered goat legs, an alabaster-skinned face with an aquiline nose and wide-set eyes. Short, sharp horns protrude from its forehead, nestled in long, greasy hair that matches the color of the fur on the legs.
Some things that freak me out is two things. What's the aquiline nose? What does that mean?
I think that means the long.
Like protruded longer, long.
Like almost like a deer nose slash goat nose.
And then like the wide eyes. I'm just always freaked out. Again, Pan's Labyrinth, if you ever watch those types of shows, it's always really creepy with those things. You know, they make the eyes really far apart. And
yeah,
I mean, goats, they're prey, right? So their eyes are always on the side of their face, which is so funny. Predators, they look straight forward. Prey looks sideways, you know?
The part that I thought was interesting was the alabaster skin face. Like, that's white. That means, like, plaster
really
white
pale,
skin,
right?
You know?
And then the greasy hair.
And greasy
like,
hair.
There's some really good descriptions here.
The thing about greasy hair that's weird is it suggests that it's earthbound. That it's, you
earthbound,
know, not
it doesn't
showering,
shower.
You know? Yeah, that kind of thing. But numerous urban legends exist about the creature's origins and the methods it employs to claim its victims. According to some accounts, the creature uses either hypnosis or voice mimicry to lure trespass passengers to the trestle to meet their death before an oncoming train. How often have we heard that?
Voice, I feel like,
mimicry.
Everything has, all these creatures have voice mimicry. Like, they know how to mimic human cadence, which is strange.
So off air, we were just talking about Bigfoot and the fact that they like do this sound, because I was listening to Bigfoot and Beyond.
What Terror is it? In the Woods?
No, it's Bobo, Cliff and Bobo's.
Okay.
From Finding Bigfoot. They have their own podcast. You should listen to it. It's really
good. I love
good.
Bobo.
They both have heard an experienced during their time doing Finding Bigfoot and doing Bigfoot investigations, have heard so many sounds that mimic other things that should not exist in the woods.
Like
a
the
lot
car
of times,
door.
Machinery type sounds, and specifically the car door shutting.
Yeah.
So my thought on that is that you hear this heavy metal door slamming, right? It sounds just like
boom.
And so if you're in the woods, you're like, what is that sound? Is there a car approaching? So you start looking for a car.
Your normal brain.
So all of a sudden you just
that.
Like, you pull away from what you're doing, right? If you're investigating Bigfoot and stuff, and all of a sudden you just pull away and you're trying to find the truck, the car, the truck, whatever, and it's not there. And I think Bigfoots have a way of mimicking that so that you are distracted, and then they're
maybe they
go.
Can run the other way,
right?
Maybe exactly. They're like in a tight spot behind a rock that you're gonna catch them right away.
But look, the natives have stories like this about like voice mimicry, where it's like, hey, they always warn their, you know, the younger children and stuff, hey, if you wander in the woods, these creatures, these things will lure you by saying little things or like
baby
enticing
cries.
You yeah, exactly, a baby cry. Like the, it reminds me of the one in the waters where the babies are crying, and people,
there's a lot of missing 411 where it does that,
right?
Which is another weird tie, you know?
Yeah, so I think all these things are sort of connected. But it says other stories claim the monster jumps down from the trestle onto the roofs of cars passing beneath it. Yet other legends tell that it attacks its victims with a blood-stained axe. It also has been said that the very sight of the creature is so unsettling that those who see it while walking across the high trestle are driven to leap off.
Wow. I think, I mean, if I saw a goat man with like those wide apart eyes and the whatever alabat, whatever you said with the nose, I can't remember what the word was for that, and like the pale skin.
Aquiline nose.
Yeah. You got the oily hair, like
wide
oh
set
my
eyes.
Goodness.
Yeah.
I literally probably would just either jump off or run as quick as I could the other way.
I think
way.
Fight or flight. I'd be ready to fight at that
I'm not
point.
Carrying a 9 every day. If I was carrying a 9 every day, I'd probably be blasting that thing, whatever it was. But
right.
Other legends explain the creature's origins, including that it is a human-goat hybrid and that it was a circus freak who vowed revenge after being mistreated. In one version, the creature escaped after a train derailed on the trestle, which actually links the Pope Lick monster to the legend of the ghost train, which is also cited on the trestle. Other versions claim that the monster is really the twisted reincarnation of a farmer who sacrificed goats in exchange for satanic powers.
It's weird that you say farmer and it's weird that you say trains, because there's those two things, right, are connected from earlier when we were talking.
Yeah.
And then my next story I'm going to tell is involving a farmer, so I don't know what's going on with that. I know goats and farmers go hand in hand, but I think that's just weird. It's just weird. There's too many connections with all this stuff. Like, there's a folklore that carries along state lines, if that makes sense.
Well, if I'm David Pilates, right, I'm an investigator.
Is that how you say it? Pilates?
Pilates, yeah. I'm an investigative journalist of some sort, or I used to be maybe some kind of law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
You try to find ties that kind of connect all these things, right? And yeah. So we're starting to do that with this goat man thing. It's like there's always a bridge of some sort, like a trestle. A train is sort of involved or some overpass. And then this thing is here with like an axe. They always have an axe, and it's there to scare passerbys to jump to their death or to commit suicide or whatever. So there's something to all these legends, and they're in different states. Like, this is Kentucky, but we talked about Texas, you know, mm-hmm. before. And this is probably a global phenomenon.
We're going to talk Texas next.
Right. Yeah, tell us the story, because I'm done with that one.
So this is probably the most famous Goatman story, you guys. It's called Goatman's Bridge Legend. And if anybody's ever looked into this, like, Goatman phenomenon, this is kind of the main story that you'll probably see first. And I think it's really interesting. It's the Old Alton Bridge is what it's called, also known as Goatman's Bridge. It's a historic iron truss bridge connecting the Texas cities of Denton and Copper Canyon. It was actually built in 1884, which is awesome time. If we had the medication we had now, I'd love going back in those days and being so wired up out of my mind. It'd be amazing. I wouldn't want consumption. I wouldn't want any other sicknesses, so I don't want to go back that way. But the Goatman's Bridge legend, okay, it says, locally, the bridge is known as Goatman's Bridge, as it's said to be haunted by half-man, half-goat figure called Goatman. The belief is based on a legend of a black goat farmer named Oscar Washburn, who was said to have moved his family to a residence just north of that bridge. A few years later, though, Washburn, having become known as the dependable and honest businessman and dubbed the Goat Man by locals, displayed a sign at Alton Bridge, which is this bridge, right, reading, "This way to the Goat Man," because he was a goat farmer.
So he was the one that put that sign up.
He put that sign up.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which is cool. Like, he's trying to get business, right?
Using his little nickname as, like,
yeah, he knew he was known as Goat Man, so there you go.
That's cool.
This way to the Goat Man.
Right.
But the success of a black man, though, was still unwelcome to many, especially at that time in 1938. Klansmen in the local government crossed the bridge and kidnapped Washburn from his family. They hung a noose on the old Alton Bridge, and after securing it around his neck, threw him over the side. So they didn't like that he was, like, getting fame and just sort of doing his thing.
Doing well for himself.
Which sucks. Like, yeah, can you imagine?
That's sad, dude.
It was definitely hard back then. Not so much anymore, but definitely hard back then. And it said, when they looked down to see if he had died after they threw him over the bridge, the noose was empty. Can you imagine?
What the heck?
So in a panic, they returned to his family home and they slaughtered his wife and his children.
Ugh.
But it says reportings of sightings by local citizens of a half-man, half-goat with fur and scales. That's a weird point.
The scales part, yeah.
In July of 1969 led to believe that a mysterious creature lived in Lake Worth. Newspapers reported the alleged sightings, including one in which the monster landed on a man's car after jumping out of a tree.
That's so common. They jump out of a tree onto a car, right?
And another in which
times.
It threw an automobile tire at a group of people. So it's weird that, like, there's things
it's physical.
It's physical. But regarding this Washburn story, where he was the goat man, right? It says locals warn that if you cross that bridge at night without headlights, as the Klansmen are said to have done in the past, you will be met with on the other side by the goat man. Ghostly figures and strange lights are said to appear in the surrounding woods, as well as reports of visitors being touched, grabbed, and having rocks thrown at them. It's weird because this is in Texas, and if you look at Ghost Adventures, which I don't know if all their stuff's legit, it seems like they might not be.
Yeah.
In some ways, I really like stand with Nick Groff on their stuff. If you ever look into Ghost Adventures,
yeah, Nick is definitely more credible.
I think. He left because he said they weren't credible, so I do struggle with listening to what Zach and Aaron and the Ghost Adventures side say. But I do see the video here, and it does show that they went to visit this bridge, and Aaron himself, the cameraman, got thrown 20 feet.
Who knows if that's true? We don't know. But it's definitely an eerie story, and it's always around a bridge, always around a train, like you said. And
well, we even have folklore like that here in Utah. Like, you can go up to whatever canyon it is, and you can, like, it's
uphill. Ensign Canyon?
Right, and there's that uphill, and you shut off your lights, and you just, like, park.
You shut off your lights, you don't press the brakes.
And all of a sudden, you start to get pushed up the hill.
You put your car in neutral, and your car gets pushed up the hill instead of down.
This is such a common myth around the country. Like, a lot of places have this type of myth, you know, and it actually happens. Like, people experience it, so there's something to it. I don't know if it's Goat Man. I mean, that's what this episode's about, but I think that Goat Man, I think, is misrepresented by a lot of different things. For some reason, there's this culture that says it's Goat Man, or there's this belief that it's Goat Man. Maybe it is.
Based on lore or something.
Yeah, like legend and lore, but I think that there's a lot more to it, and I think a lot of these things can be explained by other things.
I'm definitely open
to the idea that there is a Goat Man out there, like a satyr or like a faun or whatever.
But if you listen to these stories, like, it's already tied to more supernatural than something like Bigfoot, where there's like more natural stuff going on with Bigfoot. This stuff is more like, oh, there's lore, there's old stories, there's stuff that each town has some kind of story that connects a murder, a bad situation that happened, and it ties to it. And there's legit stuff that happened nowadays at this current time if you go to those places. Like, same thing. I went to this Ensign Canyon recently in Utah, and I tried it. It was like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able... It literally moved my car. I don't know how to describe that, but you put it neutral and it just moved up the hill. It's so weird.
And it really could be just like a...
Illusion.
Illusion of the eye, where, like...
Maybe it's going downhill. You think
it looks uphill, but maybe it... Like, that's the way our eyes see it, but maybe it's downhill. I don't believe that.
But see, we're logic thinkers. We're trying to think of every aspect.
I think you can tell when... Like, I don't think our eyes deceive us that much. I think you can tell when it's a hill.
Yeah.
You know?
I think so.
I think a lot of scientists and, like, science people will say that that's what it is some kind of illusion. But our eyes are... You and I can tell what we're looking at. You know what I mean?
Do you really trust what scientists say half the time anymore?
Not that much. Especially, like, the last couple of years. No.
If I'm just going to be super frank and super...
No, I think they've gone so far to a certain side that caters... Yeah, it's all about money. Sort of like what we were saying with Ghost Adventures and stuff. Like, how you really can't trust what they're doing, because that all of a sudden now they're starting to get money, and, like, they're starting to get told what to say and what to do and stuff. And that's what science is about now. You're getting told what to say and what to do.
Yep.
But the thing is, like, these things, like, that's the thing. We have to keep an open mind. Like, I'm trying to say with my brother and I, like, both of us are kind of like, we're open to the idea that this Goat Man thing could exist. Because here's the thing. I can't deny eyewitness accounts. That's the thing.
I can't either.
If someone came to us, so this is what we're going to say. If you send us a story that you've experienced a Goat Man encounter, please send it to us. Send it to supernaturalstation5@gmail.com. If I read a story that you've experienced something, that I'm going to believe you. Here's the thing. I believe eyewitnesses 100% because... You have nothing to gain. You have everything to lose, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so...
You're coming out of your comfort zone to tell somebody this, and I totally understand that. Like, again, I told you early in this episode, those sightings I had, it was hard for me to come out and say those things, you know? I totally get it, and we're totally open to... We want you to tell us your stories, because if you're willing to share it, this is stuff people need to know, and people don't want to talk about it for some reason, and I think we're changing that norm. I think this generation, over the last, like, 10 years, our generation...
Thanks to podcasts, thanks to Jim Harold and Astonishing Legends,
Jim Harold, George Norrie
from Coast to Coast, and
Animal Planet really influenced us, like Survivor Man. Even there's finding all
Bigfoot,
kinds of stuff.
Even finding Bigfoot, yeah.
So just come out. If you're willing to do it, come out. We believe you. It's not like we don't believe you. It's just, where is it coming from? Where is it stemming from? That's the question.
This subject we covered tonight is not super deep, but we had a lot to talk about, and we hope that we piqued some interest in you guys to kind of research this subject, and especially if you've had an encounter or your family has had an encounter or something, this is definitely a subject that it matters a lot. I mean, we don't know anything about it except for what we've read, and that's just what's been published on, you know, like the media and stuff. There's a chance these things are out there, and so the thing is let's just quote the Bigfoot Terror in the Woods guys, like, carry more gun than you think you're gonna need.
Yeah.
I mean, in this situation, those guys are right, you know. If this thing showed up in my face, I'd want to have more gun than I think I want to need.
Can you imagine shooting at it and it just, like, goes through them and there's nothing? It doesn't affect them at all. That would be scary, but...
But we definitely appreciate you guys listening, and here's the thing. We want some more subjects, so tell us what you guys want us to cover. We'll cover it. We're here for you. We're here for the listenership. We're just thankful that you're paying attention, and we hope that something that we say may pique some interest in you, something we say may learn you something, may teach you something, right? Learn you.
Mm-hmm. Learn you. I love that.
And we hope we learn from you, so please send us something, you know.
And guys, we're on our 20th episode right now. Hopefully in like 30, 40 episodes, we can actually do some live podcasts.
It's definitely the goal.
We have some interviews. I would love to interview you guys, have actual conversations live, voice to voice, and just communicate. I mean,
there's so much going on, and a lot of this needs to come out. And I think people are starting to want to hear these subjects. That's why it's so popular right now. The world's just upside down in general. So these types of things are fun to hear about because we're more open to it than we've ever been. And I feel like even people I've talked to that never believed in this stuff are willing to talk about it a little bit now, which is cool.
And part of that might be the U.S. government coming out. I mean, all the governments around the world pretty much have already come out and said, hey, we have all these UFO files, and we don't know what they are. But now the U.S. government's the last one to do it, sadly.
And it makes you wonder why. Why did they post this now?
All of a sudden they're starting to say, oh, we have all these things. We don't know what they are.
All of us have believed in the UFOs, you guys, for 20 years, but they're finally saying it's true now.
Yeah, so definitely be cautious of that. We definitely want to do a national park episode if we can soon, where we talk kind of like, listen to Belief Hole. Those guys are amazing. They just covered a really great topic of
the national parks. I want to bring up Missing 411. There's so much going on with that. And
pay attention to David Pilates' research. He's doing some amazing stuff with the 411 stuff and the national parks.
You know, I'm going to shout out somebody we've never shouted out, Mr. Ballin. I watch him on YouTube all the time.
Yeah,
and if you're a fan of the strange, weird, and paranormal, he's a great storyteller because he posts one or two times every week. He's awesome. So go listen to him too. He's awesome.
We're going to cover some of that stuff. There's so much that ties into all these topics that we talk about. And I think that the Goat Man is no stranger to this stuff. I think that the Goat Man is somehow tied in to the greater picture of what we talk about all the time. I don't think that people are lying. I really don't. There might be some liars. But
we try to give everybody the benefit. I really believe
that people have seen something and they're telling the truth. And that's what we're here for. We're here to listen to that and we're here to cover it and kind of dive into it. So send us your topics and we definitely appreciate you guys listening and we hope you join us next time.
We appreciate you guys. Hell yeah.
Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.